Western Huddle for everything AFL, featuring the biggest names in WA and all the breaking news.
Big goal for the West Coast Eagles.
92.9 Triple M Perth.
Western Huddle for another week there, Embers. Our loyal, usual button pusher, 40s in Bali.
Oh, of course he is.
Romancing, you reckon?
What's he doing over there?
Romance.
Mate. He works very hard, 40.
No, he doesn't really. But anyway, so Leachy stood in today. Leachy wearing his Dan Ricciardo gear, loves his sport. West Coast man.
Don't you start.
Sorry, okay. All right, now, so let's just kick it around a little bit. We'll start with West Coast because they had the win. Friday
Very
night footy. Whoever is sitting there doing the draws,
yes,
he's obviously got a drinking problem.
Yeah,
because there's no way in the world 18th v 16th should have fallen on Friday night, let alone a doubleheader on Friday night. Let's start with that.
Yeah,
doubleheaders on Friday night that overlap each other. Most outrageous thing I've ever heard and seen and witnessed.
No, I agree with you too. I don't like it. And in fact, to be honest with you, I actually didn't realise that the game before was actually even on Western Bulldogs and Hawthorn game. And I mean, it just sort of came up on the big screen. I think, geez, are these guys playing tonight as well?
Yeah, doubleheader. I don't like it. I love watching footy.
Yeah.
So I hear other podcasts and stuff say, oh, well, you only really care about your team. I'm like, no. Yeah. People enjoy watching footy. People have fantasy teams, so they obviously support multiple teams because they're watching players from their own team. I've got soft spots for players that used to play with, players you like, players from your hometown. I mean, people like watching football, so why are we overlapping all these games? It happens on Sunday as well.
No, that's right. Bring the Thursday night game out. I do enjoy watching that. The one on the Friday, and then just maybe three on Saturday.
But what about the overlappers on Sunday?
Sunday.
They overlap each other by a quarter.
Yeah.
Just start an hour earlier. How's that for a problem solving?
Friday night in Melbourne, 7:50 is
a really late start, isn't it?
It's horrible.
Great for us over here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd finish work, get down to the bowls club, sidle up, eat my cheese and cheese platter, and then off.
See,
I
actually, to be honest with you, I find 5:50 Perth time not a good time for me to watch
kids and stuff like that.
I find it horrible.
I'm very good at now I've got the Google Chromey thing or whatever it's called. I just get back to it at when the kids go down.
Yeah.
So I won't watch it until 7 o'clock when the kids are going down.
Yeah, no, I can't do that at all.
And I don't look at my phone. I've got a few multis going. I'm counting the stats in my head. I've got bits of paper.
I'm like
The Beautiful Mind, Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Got numbers bloody going everywhere and trying to work out the formula.
Friday night, though, like, you know, you would have had a look at 16th v 18th thinking, why are these two teams playing on Friday night? Well, to their credit, both sides had an absolute dip. Now, it was bruise-free footy at its absolute best.
But that was about
The reality was, it was at least exciting to go and watch. Now,
well, Essendon, it was for us because we've served
a big
up
following
shit for a long time.
West Coast have got a big following, and to get, you know, 40,000 just shows that West Coast do have, you know, loyal supporters.
Huge,
and it was, you know, from a West Coast perspective, because we've seen some shite this year, at least they went out, at least they took the game on, at least they sort of went for those kicks, and, you know, they've still got, you know, players inside their forward line that can score.
Well, Kennedy wound back the clock, didn't he?
Well, he did, yeah. Darling was, you know, really solid too. Kicked a couple of goals, probably.
Willie Rioli's best game since
more.
His drug ban, I reckon.
Yeah, he was
kicked
lively.
Had 20. Lee was supposed to get on the ground for West Coast was 22, I think.
So, I think there's, you know, encouraging signs for West Coast. Obviously, Nick Knapp played on Saturday night and had 17 touches, 26
hit-outs. Did you see Harry Edwards,
couple of goals.
The fullback who had been playing?
How many intercept marks did they say he took?
He had 30 disposals, 23 marks.
I mean, the jury's still out on Harry Edwards.
Massively.
But you go out and do that at a waffle game, like, there must be,
I think,
there must
leaving
be something
there for
about
the year,
you.
Though. Leaving there for the year. He's had his pants done a few times.
Yeah.
Just let him now get his confidence back.
Oh, well,
a few games of
Tommy Barris keeps playing players
on
their
that?
Ski rope, then he might actually have to come in to play
on. You and I aged a year watching that.
Oh, listen, I think, unfortunately, right now, the Eagles defenders are, they're still too slow to actually adapt to the way the
Manning
game's
up.
Getting played.
Yeah.
Like, I understand 3 or 4 years ago, you know what, you could play off your man because you got pressure up the ground. The reality is there's no pressure up the ground anymore from West Coast, all right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to allow your midfielder time and space, they're going to hit targets. So all it just means for the defenders is that they have to start adjusting their starting position earlier. Now, Tom Barris, when he was one-on-one with 2 metre Peter, looked really good, okay? He was able to body him up, you know, spoil. And then every time he gave him leg rope, he was found out.
I've got a theory, and it's a theory for most forwards v backs. If you could read the play as well as the forward, you'd be a forward.
Mm.
But you're a defender.
I used to always tell the defenders at West Coast that the only reason that, you know, basically defenders are in the side is because they couldn't play forwards.
Yeah.
No. So you tell me what kid at, you know, 9 years of age says to the coach, like, listen, can you put me a full back?
or yeah. centre back. No, you're a midfielder, you're a ruck,
forward.
You're a wing.
Mate,
you're
put
half
your hand
forward,
up when
right?
you're the tiniest kid in the team. I'll go ruck before you go.
And then you realise you can't get a kick, so you go down back to make it easier for yourself.
Yeah. So that's that NY Elliot Yeo half back.
Yeah, that's a winner.
Do you think that's a winner for his career?
No, I think so now. Yeah, I think. I mean, there's a couple of parts to it. If he gets really fit, then I think he needs a full preseason.
Preseason. We said last year they need to break down the players. If they can't handle 100% of the load, they're not. If they turn up half-assed again, because you got to try and protect these older blokes, they're going to be cooked again. So you're right. He either plays round one as fit as he's ever been, or he's broken down.
But the reality is now, like, Shuey's, what, 32 next year, 33, whatever he is. So, you know, you can't have Shuey, probably Yoey, Redden, all in the same midfield team together. So, one of those guys, if Yoey has a really good preseason, I think he's still under 28, 29. Yeah. He could probably have another good season as a midfielder. But, hey, he looked really good at halfback. So
he knows no one's going to catch
him. Maybe leave him there.
Bit of sard about it, wasn't there, finally?
Strong, hard.
Taking it on.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's quickly push over to the big team in town at the moment, the Fremantle Dockers.
Yeah.
Got unwrapped by Carlton by 5 goals.
Never looked like it, did they?
Nah, I didn't think so. I've just got some stats here, Amber, the last 5 games. Lost the inside 50 count, 64-40. 61-47, 54-51, then they won this one, 53-51, then lost 60-46. Over the last 5 weeks, they've averaged 47 inside 50s to nearly 60.
Yeah, their midfield balance right now is still a little bit of an issue for mine. Well, they haven't got it right.
No, I was talking to someone from another club, and they don't fear Fremantle scoring.
Yeah.
Back line's rock solid.
Really solid, yep.
Really solid. Yep. But they don't fear their scoring at all. And if you see 47 inside 50s to nearly 60 over the last 5 weeks, they can't get it in there to score.
No, that's right. And the mids don't kick goals either. No. So, and Brayshaw is an absolute genuine star. Will Brody's done really well. But when Fife came in first week, Will Brody was the one that got sort of pushed out.
So Brody was back in on the weekend.
And had a pretty good game.
So now Fife, undoubtedly, Fremantle's greatest player of all time, if not greatest, second greatest of Pav. You know, a megastar, two-time Brownlow medalist. Comes in late to the season after surgeries and surgeries. At what stage does Longy go, righto, Nat, this year's not for you really. We're just going to have to play you forward because Will Brody, Sorong was quiet on the weekend.
Yeah.
Fife was exceptionally quiet. And Will Brody was very good. Or do you keep going, no, we've got Fife. And I'm saying maybe he's 80% forward, 20%. Midfield, and if you can kick 2 or 3 goals, that's the Nat Fife.
I like Nat Fife in at the contest, the centre bounces, he has to push forward. Nat Fife, unfortunately, right now, and his transition has never been one of his strengths. He's been one of the greatest stoppage players to play the game, and he's really good at that. But at the moment, I think when you're underdone, right, you go to the stoppage, and then suddenly once the ball leaves, you're just caught, you know. Yeah. You can't defend, you can't push forward, and you get found out. So,
and I heard Fifey say after the first game, they sat him on the offensive point of a stoppage so that if they did lose, if the ball went that way, Fife's opponent had to run through the congestion and someone would pick him up, a Brayshaw or Sorong.
But straight away,
Akers or someone like that.
Straight away, that tactic is it a negative tactic that you're going into a game because you're actually going, geez, Nat Fife's weakness right here. And
you're protecting it, whereas Will Brody and them can do it all. So how many more weeks of Fife do you give it before you have to go, righto, we're sitting second, third, fourth, whatever, he's fighting for a top two spot?
Yeah.
That Fife maybe just goes full forward and because the scoring, as we said,
I wish Nat Fife had the confidence to play inside forward 50. I think the next 4 years, he could turn himself into one of the best key forwards in the game. Unfortunately, at the moment, and there's no doubt it is between the ears for him, but his goal kicking, he's just got no confidence. Even a couple of times on the weekend, take a mark outside 50.
The one to the umpire? Did you see the kick to the umpire? Yeah. That was unusual. I don't even know if he was kicking to the umpire. It was off the instep or what was going on.
You take a mark outside 50, I just want him to wheel around and just go.
Well, you reckon he... It's a nice enough kick. Just kick it 50 as far as you can, as powerful you can in that direction. And it's interesting with Fife. And another quick one. What have you locked on to Sam Walsh, who was coming off half forward, had 41, clearly best on ground. Fremantle opted to... So Walsh went up to the contest and played as a fifth midfielder.
Yep.
Fremantle said, no, our back line is the strongest back line in the competition with a 6-person back line.
Yep.
They kept Aish or Clark or whoever it was back as the sixth. Walsh had a field day, didn't really stop anything going that way as a sixth defender. But, of course, if you do tag Walsh, then it's 5v5 and then it opens up and you've got more angles and stuff for Big H and Charlie.
Yeah, it's
hindsight's a wonderful thing, but they had to have gone with Walsh.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think they need to have a little bit more of a look at what they did in the Melbourne game with Clayton Oliver. I thought Ace did a really good job. So
I think Clary was starting in the middle in that one.
Yeah.
Whereas Walsh started outside the contest a stack.
Yeah.
And then with his running ability, can get it there.
Yeah.
And then get it there as well.
You might be able to adjust as well. I mean, you know, the reality is if someone comes from half forward and you want to keep your half, you know, your half backs, maybe your wing sort of folds in. Mm. Ace starts on a wing, comes in. One of your forwards sort of comes up, plays on a wing.
Yeah, there's alternative ways.
There is ways around it.
Walsh went absolutely nuts.
Well, he had 40,
didn't he? Did you see the second quarter?
Briefly, yeah.
I reckon he had 15 touches.
It was incredible.
And clearances out his ass.
He's an absolute star.
Why don't we tag more in AFL? It has got me absolutely cooked. I mean, ask Lachie Neal, who liked getting tagged Thursday night. Ask Clary Oliver, who liked it the time before against
In our era, we got tagged all the time.
I didn't.
Well, nah, but like, no, like we got tagged all. Like, there's always someone from your side.
Cuzzy, Juddy, and Curry go to a stoppage at the start of a game. It's toss of the coin who's up.
Mate, the reality is they never tagged them.
Yeah.
They bloody tagged me.
Did you get a run with?
All the time. Yeah. Because what they did is they go, well, these guys are too good inside.
Embley's mentally fragile. So we'll get after him.
You know what? We'll get the guy on the outside, right? And we'll slow him down, especially against Fremantle. Every single time, I reckon, for maybe 7 years.
Yeah.
They tagged the outside. They went that way for a while. Remember Cade Simpson? He used to absolutely rack him on a wing and then...
Clarkson was very quick to clamp wingers.
Yeah,
Andrew Gaff came in his first year and had something like 15 touches.
Yep.
Clarkson's like, nah, tag him.
Yep.
And every single... David Roden was another one who used to go inside, outside.
The outside run.
Damn Daniel Pearce. He used to get done a fair
That's
bit.
That's why I'm actually surprised Isaac Smith doesn't get tagged a lot
it's
more.
It's hard to keep up with him.
He's a really good runner.
Oh, mate. Well, when I turned up, like Chris Masson's a good runner. When I turned up, Gaffy, not in the same league.
Oh, really?
No.
That's the reason why they can't keep up with him.
No, he's unbelievable.
Is he? Yeah,
he used to run, and I used to do a time trial.
Yeah.
And you knew if he was about to lap you, you're on pace.
Yeah.
So you're going as hard as you can. And you were an okay runner back then. But he'd put 50 seconds on you. And I used to always wonder, does it hurt as much for you as it does for me? He goes, it just does for a lot longer for you. I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He puts himself in a hole.
I recover a lot quicker.
Oh, my God. He was so good. I remember Brad Hill turning up one pre-season, his first year. Hill, he was a good runner, obviously. Yep. And thought that...
You killed the block.
Oh, my God. Hilly tried to set a pace. Oh, Isaac Smith waved at him on the way past. And then there was me just charging. Anyway, mate, just really quickly, West Coast head to the MCG to play Richmond.
Yep.
Last time I played, Tom Lynch could have kicked 15.
Yep.
100-point margin. Another one of shockers we had to sit through. What are you thinking this weekend for Richmond?
I think West Coast will have a little bit of a crack at it. Nick Nat will more than likely be back into the side.
No Prestia helps.
Yeah, I think I don't think West Coast will get blown out of the park. I think they'll give it a good shot.
Line.
Yeah, I'm happy to say that West Coast will be within 39 points.
And then we go to a Sunday game, which we'll be doing here on Triple M, and we've got the Port Adelaide team coming over to play Fremantle 320 Optus Stadium on Sunday.
Yes.
Big, can you pitch your case?
A big day for Triple M footy. West Coast straight into this game. Weather looks pretty good, so this will be a...
Weather good, track fine.
Yeah, weather will be good. Oh, I think this is a danger game for Fremantle. Port Adelaide, they are coming. They're coming pretty hard at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think even their win against Gold Coast, who are travelling really well, I think was a good win on the weekend.
Yeah.
So they're still thinking that they can play finals. I think this is going to be a really tough, tight game.
I'll tell you he's a gun. Marshall.
He's had a really, really big 5 weeks.
He's kicked 31 goals, which puts him equal ninth on the Coleman. I mean, he's a star.
Yeah.
His last little while has been unbelievable.
I thought this was going to be the year that Georgiades, you know, become sort of that, that you know.
Jeez, there's some big forwards down there,
Tom Marshall's gone and passed him now.
So, Freo?
I think Freo win, but if Port Adelaide knock him off, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, they need to get those inside 50s skewed, 290 to 237 over the last 5 weeks.
It'd be interesting to see what happens with that five this year, where they play him.
This week, I agree. All right, Ambers, another episode of the Western Huddle. Should we do it again next week, as Forty says?
The Dockers are roaring back into this one.
That's all from the Western Huddle this week. Listen Tuesday next week for your dose of everything AFL. 92.9 Triple M Perth.